Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
He is highfalutin.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
Mokarum Injury Lawyers, hard as hell to say, easy to dial, 281-222-2222. We appreciate everybody out there for listening and watching on YouTube and Twitch. If you listen on the AM dial, FM dial, FM HD dial, we appreciate that. The Odyssey app is what I want you to make sure you got downloaded. Whether you're using it every day to listen, that's cool. If you do, you can take us anywhere you go. But if you're committed to that AM dial or that HD FM dial, that's cool too. But the Odyssey app, you need to download, AUDACY. Keep us on your hip, take us everywhere that you go. Private jet stories, boys. I am I'm playing ball in Dallas, and every now and then somebody'd come in and a business or a sponsor, somebody would throw us you know, not Emmett, not Aikman, no kind of deal, this lower level guys a little bone to make a little money.
There it was, glory hole.
Me and Demetrius Evans, y'all remember Demetrius Evans? Played at Georgia. He played in the league for about 8-9 years with the Cowboys, and I believe at the time the Redskins.
I don't know.
They said, "Hey boys, we got this deal, and here's what's in it for you." It was $10,000 or $15,000 for the day, and it was an appearance. We were going to fly to somewhere in Amarillo, and it was a private jet there.
We are going to go to Amarillo by morning.
We were going to be there. No, we're not going to be there by morning. No, but I see what you're doing, George. That was good. That was really good.
King of country.
There you go.
Didn't have it.
And the deal is, again, I can't remember what, $10,000 or $15,000, a Rolex, private jet and limo to and from. And me and Demetric Evans, we had never been, neither one of us at that point in time, other than when we got recruited, had ever been on a private jet. And they call us. They said, "All right, here's the deal. We're going to leave at such and such time from Love Field in Dallas. Be at the private airport there at such and such times." All right, so we get there, and the guy. It was supposed to be this jet that had this tail number on it, right? And we're out here at the terminal, the private terminal, and we're looking around. We can see 10 or 15 jets sitting out in this parking lot, and he's giving us the tail number.
And you don't see the one he's giving you.
I'm like, man, there ain't no, I'm looking at him. I know what a tail number is. There ain't no tail number. That ain't there. He said, I know they're on the ground. I said, they must not be here yet. And he said, no, I know they're on the ground somewhere. I said, well, let me walk around and see, you know, there may be a couple of them around this corner here. Ron, I walk around there, and when I see the plane we got to get on, I damn near didn't go.
Why?
It was not a jet. It was a prop plane. and it was small. And you're going to think I'm lying. If I'm lying, I'm dying. If Demetric Evans wouldn't have been so scared, I would have been more scared. Like, I was trying to stay strong for my boy. You know what I mean? We get on this jet, and we get up in the air, and it's hot. I tell our boys, hey, man, it's hot back here, man. If I'm lying, I'm dying. My man opened the window.
No, he didn't. In the air?
In the air. I swear.
Oh.
I swear. I swear.
I mean, man, I'd have talked. Man, what kind of plane did you
my send? My man cracked the window.
I bet you. I damn near died out.
We went to Amarillo, and I bet we didn't get no more than about 500 feet off the ground. It was a crop duster. If I'm lying, I'm dying. It gets better.
I don't know that I would have got on it.
Ron, I didn't know all this. I mean, I knew it was small, but I didn't know all this was going to go on until, I mean, we might as well have been in an Army helicopter. It's basically what it felt like.
Letting windows up.
Ron, yeah. we land, and honest to God truth. We land. Remember, it's private jet. It's 10 to 15 grand, private jet, limo, Rolex, appearance for a couple hours. Boom, bring us back to Dallas. We land in a little bitty airport. There's no traffic whatsoever. And this limo comes out there. And it's a Cadillac, a stretch Cadillac limo, old school, with horns on the hood ornament.
Yeah.
I swear, big old one. And I'm thinking, this has got to be a joke, right? Old white dude gets out, opens the door, puts us in this limo, and we start going to this theater in downtown Amarillo. And the damn thing breaks down.
Did y'all get paid? Did y'all get y'all watches?
We get to this event. Event was nice, whatever. But I mean, it was country as hell, and it was whatever. Man, let's make the money and get the hell. At this point, we're like, hey man, now I'm scared to leave. Yeah. I don't want to get back on that thing.
Yeah.
We got the $10,000. I can't remember what exactly.
I'd have paid for a flight.
All happened so fast. I didn't have the guts to be like, hey y'all, I'm not getting in that car. We never got the damn Rolex. I hunted that Rolex for a year plus and never got it.
Never got it?
Never got it. I thought, if this is what it's all about being in the league, man, what in the hell?
And they didn't put your life in danger?
Oh, man. When buddy,
did y'all have to fly back on that plane?
On that plane. Same plane. Damn sure did.
They'd have gave me a Michael Kors. They'd have gave me something.
Hey, man, that is the private jet story that make a man never get on another private jet. Now,
get on a private jet.
I got on a crop duster. I think it was one step up from a crop duster. I don't know how high you can be and still roll the window down. So that'll tell you how high.
I'd have been like, "Hey, boss, man, I'm good, man. I'll just stay down here hot." Hell, you talking about?
Hey,
oh here, man, go ahead, open up that window.
It's one thing to not get paid, Ron, on a Rolex deal. I hunted that Rolex for one reason, because that wasn't a private jet, and that bull jive limo y'all put me on broke down. Y'all did not come through. Least you can do is give me that damn Rolex. Never got it. I mean, it was unbelievable. All right, y'all. Nick Caserio, he spoke today. I want to encourage everybody to, anytime Nick Caserio is on Sports Radio 610 with Payne and Pendergast, you got to listen to it, man. The chemistry between them and the general manager over there, just it's Nick Caserio. It's very rare that you see him this relaxed and this just kind of open in conversation. And Payne and Pendergast have got great rapport with him and they do a great job. But Nick Caserio, I think he shed light on several topics, but two of them pertaining to our quarterback here in Houston were the biggest ones to me. Number one, it came out a couple of days ago, C.J. Stroud was talking about watching 2003, 2004 Patriots, Tom Brady offense. And look, immediately, I love it. This was my football horny clip yesterday talking about, I've said it a million times, I want C.J. Stroud to play as Brady-like as he possibly can. One, I think he's an elite processor, so it's the style he needs to play. Two, I think it's the best version of C.J. Stroud that we're ever going to see is if he's playing that. So I love, for the first time since I've been in Houston covering the Texans, I love the connection of the Patriot South, right? That we're going to do things in any way, shape, or form Patriots.
Love it now, huh?
I love this. I've said it for 2 years now. Connect these dots, man. Tom Brady and C.J. Stroud. Here is Nick Caserio, the general manager, on why C.J. Stroud is watching 2003, 2004 Patriots Tom Brady tape.
There's a library of information that goes back a number of years, and then as it pertains to playing quarterback, that 2003 season, and I probably have mentioned this or talked about this, when you look at Tom's career, it was almost like two careers within one. You kind of had the 01 to kind of 10 group, and then 10 to 20 or whenever he left. And he didn't start. He wasn't a starter until 2002. We weren't very good. We were 9-7. And then we, turn the team over there a little bit. And then 03 and 04, you know, we were fortunate enough to put ourselves in a position, have an opportunity to win some Super Bowls. And then Tom continued to, I would say, grow as a player. So, again, you have to, through the lens of what they're looking for, is it technique specific? Is it as pertains to the fundamentals, or is it system specific? And it's probably some combination of the two. And you're always, everybody is watching other players and picking and choosing, but you just have to figure out, what can I utilize and apply that's going to help me in the current situation?
I love the breakdown of just, hey man, this is, because Nick would have told us, I think, if it were one or the other, but the thought of, we're watching this tape for two reasons with C.J. Stroud. Technique, fundamental, how's he playing the position, how quick is he getting the ball out, just generally speaking, quarterback play, let's watch that. That's, he said, I'd imagine it's a little bit of both. That, I love Tom Brady. I love C.J. Stroud focusing on that kind of player. Joe Burrow would be another good one, if you will. So I love that, and I think it's the best case scenario for C.J. Stroud. The other part of this is scheme-oriented, even if it's just route combinations and what did we use to beat pressures and how did we beat pressures and what are these routes or what are they supposed to look like? How and where are they supposed to be thrown? It, that tells me that, again, just another layer to Nick Caley appears to be leaning in more into his New England roots than his Sean McVay roots. It's more about installing that offense from jump than it is, hey, we're going to keep this terminology the same and we're going to run some semblance of the Shanahan-McVay type of stuff. No. It seems like, Ron, they're leaning more heavily into the New England stuff, even on what General Manager Nick Caserio had to
which
say.
Which is interesting that they kept so many of the faces the same with the staff, because it looks like this ain't as much as a combination of it. It seems like Nick Caserio and D'Amico came together and said, all right, we got to find a coordinator that will work with this.
Yep.
And work with, because we think this is the best version of CJ if we can get him in this, and we got to find somebody that can go and run this. It's it looks like it is very much that from everything Caley has said, from, hey, I don't know what the offense is going to be until I see what kind of guys I got. That sounds very much game plan New England stuff, and they've made all those comments that seems to get to that space.
Yeah, I just think it's a perfect fit for C.J. Stroud. Now, there's still, again, the wild card of, who is Nick Caley? Does he know what he's doing? Can he call plays? Can he game plan? That's not going to change. But the simple fact that they're showing C.J. Stroud, and look, I'm biased because I believe it's the best case scenario, to be completely honest with you, but they're leaning so hard into C.J. Stroud playing the game a certain way. I just think that cannot be overstated right there. Now, Nick Caserio, the general manager, wasn't done on Payne and Pendergast this morning. The thought of C.J. Stroud, when you talk about fixing last year's issues, protection, pass protecting issues, I think the one thing that's going to clear it up the most is C.J. Stroud having control of the communication at the line of scrimmage. I've said it before, if the quarterback doesn't know where everybody's going, whether they're right or wrong, if he doesn't know where everybody's going when the ball snapped, he doesn't know where the heat's coming from. He's trying to read both sides of the field. If he can himself can slide the protection one direction and know that, hey, if I get heated up, where I'm not protected is to my right, I've got to have an answer. That in itself, it's not great, but that in itself is a huge improvement. So the quarterback being able to communicate more in this offense, I think, is the first and the most important step in them fixing the pass protecting problem. And we've heard C.J. Stroud talk about wanting and getting more control. I don't know that we've heard coaches or general managers talk much about that said control, if you will.
Yeah.
But here's Nick on C.J. having more control at the line of scrimmage and really more control of the offense overall at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it's always a process, so it's never anything happens overnight. So once you learn the kind of the terminology and the vernacular, that's step one. Step two is, it's really about the communication mechanism. So who helps drive the communication? Sometimes it's the center. He handles all the communication. There's other systems where the quarterback sets the protection system, makes the mic identification, and then the communication kind of goes top down, and then the line gets it distributed inside out. So it's some combination. The most important thing is, are you seeing it the same way? Is the offensive line seeing it the same way as a quarterback is seeing it, and vice versa? And then it's understanding like where your issues or where your problems are, and then what's the solution? So, and it takes time. You have to immerse yourself in film. You have to immerse yourself in meetings. You have to go on the field and do it. And there's going to be probably a little bit of a trial and error that takes place. In the case of CJ, he was able to handle the run game. The mic identification is a part of that. So he was a part of all the group run installations. He was on the field in the run periods. So getting the blockers distributed right, who's the mic, where's the force, do we have to motion the guy across to get him in proximity where he can block that area? So there's plenty of work that you can get done.
I love it, man. That is, again, football horny all over the place here. I mean, look, the key is one thing that I think Nick did not answer or didn't mention that I think is important here. He mentioned seeing it the same way and communicating it, right? But the key here to me was C.J. Stroud being the main communicator, because yeah, he's going to communicate the mic, and then based on who he identifies as the mic, then the center's got to hear that, and the center directs traffic from the mic on out, right? And the beautiful thing about this is and this is the part that I don't think Nick mentioned here, is if at any point in time there is a back and forth, the clock's running down, final say is with the quarterback. Final say is C.J. Stroud says, hey, man, y'all shut the hell up. The mic is 54. Block it that way. Done deal. Like that. To me, that's the part that hurt last year, was there was no mechanism in place for C.J. Stroud to overrule. At some point, the final say has to be with the quarterback. Now, sometimes the quarterback can say, you get a good enough center, hey, I don't need to say much. The only time I'm going to speak up is when I know you're wrong or I see something and I need to adjust it. And when I speak up, you ask better listen and change some things. Having that mechanism within the offense is the big key here. The final say is with the quarterback, and C.J. Stroud is that guy. And it's going to be huge, man, in terms of improving and fixing problems. Now, I think the interesting part Nick ended with there was, it's not going to be easy, right? It's not going to be easy. CJ did a great job in OTAs. By the way, I don't know if y'all picked up on this.
He said on the run game.
On the run game stuff that he was a part of already, so I don't know how long that shoulder was out where he wasn't throwing, but he did a good job there. Like, it's going to take a lot of reps. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take making mistakes. It's going to take trial and error, as Nick said. And so I don't know when this is going to come to fruition, but when you look at getting the best version of CJ Stroud, you're going to get it when he has final say-so and he has ultimate control of the offense. So, look, I love what Nick had to say on both fronts, on CJ and why he's watching the film, also on CJ and him having more control at the line of scrimmage. I love the direction that this offense is going in and how they're handling their quarterback play.
And they're not really hiding it. They're letting it be known, like, the direction and the route they're trying to go.
Right. Well, when CJ lets the cat out of the bag, right, and says, I've been watching 0304 Brady film. Now, I'm sure CJ, they said, hey, CJ, man, you're letting every defense that we play in the first month of the season know that we're going to be running the Brady offense, man.
He tried to curb it a little bit by saying, yeah, you watch some things, but then you're careful with doing everything.
I like it. I hope he's speaking truth.
Yeah. That is that was Nick Caserio. And by the way, if you missed that, the entirety, it was about 40 minutes, 40, 45 minutes with Payne and Pendergast. Nick Caserio met with the guys post mandatory minicamp, and it was a good conversation. Want to hear that in its entirety, go ahead to the podcast page. And at around 7:30 in hour two, you can hear that right there on the Odyssey app or Sports Radio 610. com. All right, coming up, my favorite game. We got to play it with Christian Walker. Christian Walker had him a big night last night. One of my favorite games on the show. We'll do that coming up.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
And he hits one way out of here. Forget about it. Up on the train track. The A train has just left Union Station at 3-0 Astros.
Skywalker in flight. Early evening delight.
Yeah, that's what he said. Early afternoon delight. Skywalker right there, baby.
Early evening delight.
Yeah. Afternoon delight.
He just ain't hitting, man.
Didn't like it, huh?
It ain't hitting for me, man. Tyler may be onto something. I'm missing the Star Wars vibe. That just...
Afternoon delight.
Yeah, just...
That's Ron Burgundy for me.
Yeah.
I mean, Christian Walker...
Open your eyes up to the Galactic Empire, brother.
I think there's more there. I'm just being completely honest. I think there's more there.
I mean, Jedi's and Sith Lords are pretty badass.
That ball wasn't walking.
It's flying.
Tyler, that ball wasn't walking, baby.
There's something. I mean, that's pretty solid for the in the moment, but... I don't know if it's one that sticks.
Shout out to Christian. Christian Walker had a big night, though. 3-for-4. And hit his 9th home run of the year. Got another double, which drove in a run. So, a big, big night. We talked about it before when Dana Brown said yesterday or said the other day on the Astros flagship that he thinks this roster is set up for a World Series run. And... Christian Walker was a big part of what they need to do. Behind, obviously, Yordan Alvarez coming back, but Christian Walker was a big part of this. I'm going to throw this out to you. You know I like to play the press the button game.
Mm-hmm.
Press that damn button. Right now, currently, Christian Walker is hitting .217, and that is off of him going 3-for-4 yesterday. He's hitting .217, .280 on base, .373 slug, .653 OPS. He's got 9 homers, 9 doubles, 33 RBIs. Would you press the button right now for that first year of Jose Abreu? Do you remember the first year of Jose Abreu?
It's hard to forget.
It was bad, but let me. Jose Abreu hit .237, .296 on base, .383 slug, .680 OPS, 18 homers, 23 doubles, 90 RBIs. Right now, would you press the button for Christian Walker to do what Jose Abreu did? Would you press the button?
Nope.
Really?
And they say
dead
ass. No.
I would press the button right now for him to get to two. Yeah, I would press the button. 18-90 right now. I know it wasn't great. It was rough. I don't know if Christian's going to reach those numbers. Let him play that first base, but at the plate, I think I would press the button.
No way. No way. Christian Walker's got to bring more than that to the table.
Oh, I'm with you. He's got to. I don't know that I'm confident that he is right now. And
I am. I'm with Dana Brown.
You think he's about to go off?
Dana Brown in the booth last night, man. He's getting hot. Watch Christian Walker get hot, and all of a sudden he bangs around the park, then he bangs a double. Yeah. The final numbers, you know, the 90 RBIs in particular, I mean, I'm trying to do the calculation. How many games have we played? I don't even know how many. I mean, we're
mid-60s. 60, so, 63, 64, something like
so
that.
So we're over a third of the way. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if he's going to get 90 RBIs. I mean, we've got that OPS and – home runs and he's got to surpass that.
We'll get all this little funk.
You pressing the button, Tyler?
No,
really.
I'm holding off with Dirty Red. I'm not saying it was an easy decision, but I'm shoving my hand in my pocket. And I ain't touching the damn button,
man.
For now,
shoot, man.
My regret that.
I'm telling you, dude. I know it was. You were hoping that you would be past this. Shoot, man, 18 homers, 23 doubles, 90 RBIs. Man, I'm on that. Give me that right now, Christian. Give me that right now. I hope he goes off right now. I hope Dana is right and that this June and July is Christian Walker time and he is about to get smoking hot. But I'm just saying we've had a couple of moments. Hell, not even just today, but maybe a couple of games. Maybe a half a week where it looked like, all right, here he goes. Here's the Arizona Diamondback Christian Walker. Here he goes. And then we look up and we get back down and hell, in and dropped into the sixth or seventh spot. And he's struggling. So, I mean.
I'm trying to do the best.
He's
I
coming,
can.
Ron. Yeah, I ain't pushing no damn button.
I push. I think it's just because of the name you're hearing. He's got to be better. He's got to be better than damn Jose Abreu is what the thought process. Someone said I am slamming my fist on that button on the next line. Hell yeah, I'm with you. Slamming that sucker. So, because I mean, I guess what you look. What was he last year? Last year, Christian Walker in Arizona. Hit 26 homers, 84 RBIs. His on-base percentage way up from that. He hit .251, .335, .468 slug. Yeah, I mean.
Like I said, I don't know if he's going to get to 90, but that sounds more like it right there. 20-some-odd bombs, .250-somethings. Yeah, that sounds more.
You're holding off from pushing the button because you want to.
I want more bombs. I want more on-base percentage. I want more. I want him more productive from an RBI perspective, more productive the rest of the way than he was to this point. I ain't saying you got to get to 90, but we got to be a little more productive than you have been to this point.
Yeah. It sucks to suck.
Text line coming through. Best thing for Walker will be when Yordan comes back, he needs to be between Yordan in the 3-hole and Tuvi in the 5-hole. Paredes needs to stay in the 2-hole for Yordan comfort.
Yordan.
You want Altuve to hit behind him. Interesting. Text line coming through. Show you're a dumbass. Walker will be .260, 20-plus home runs at the end of the year. All right. Yeah. He's really showing it. So, yeah, maybe. I guess
the way you read those sometimes.
I get the belief. I get the belief that you probably would have said I'd have been a dumbass if I also would have said something like this that first year that Jose Abreu got here. And he never did any of those things.
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
I'm with you. You don't want to go 3-for-3, but bro, he had to go 3-for-4 last night to get to 217.
Yeah.
To 217. Hell, Jordan was in there earlier.
I mean, you do the math. One for four will get his average up. It'll help it go in the right direction. So, you know, just keep on grinding, Christian. He'll be there. He'll get 250.
So you're a dumbass. There you go. All right. So if he don't get to 260 and 20, I'm sure that person will text me back.
Yeah.
Say, man, my fault, man. I was the dumbass.
Holler at us, man.
I was the dumbass there. Yeah, well, hopefully I would slam it. Because I'm not seeing signs of consistency right there. We'll see. Hopefully he does get to that point. All right, you heard Clint talking about Christian Harris a little bit earlier ago as Nick Caserio, or he talked about Nick Caserio earlier talking about C.J. Stroud. He also spoke on Christian Harris, and I think you got to feel good about what he had to say about Christian Harris. At least to me, partly what he had to say, I think it makes you feel better about the Christian Harris situation. We'll discuss that coming up as we continue right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line, Christian Walker gets 3 hits tonight.
What's that going to get him to?
Not 260.
220?
Should. 3 hits. Yeah, it should get him over 220. We'll see, man. He looked good last night. He sure did. Text line shows you've never been on a private jet, LOL. Like apparently, man, we live in different lives. And it's just as common as hell that just rolling in private jets. Hell, I told you in the break, Clint, hell, I've flown first class once. My whole life, once.
I've never bought a first class ticket. I've been moved up a few times because of my points.
Every time we talk about stuff like this, it just never gets better with you. I've never had to buy my own first class.
No,
I've bought them all. I've got friends. I mean,
sorry about this friend.
He tried to do that little crop duster plane thing to make us feel a little bit better.
No. I've only been in first class a few times. I get really excited when I'm in that back row back there and they come back. Hey, man, we got to distribute the weight a little differently. And you're the biggest guy back here. You think we can move you up to first? Oh, well, yeah.
That's how it's happened to you?
Yeah.
Had a big ass.
Yep. Yeah.
And I enjoyed that Economy Plus last week. Except for on the way back. On that way back, I wish I could have picked my seat. It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I mean, it just, like I almost said something. We had a fella, his wife, and him and his wife, you know, I'm flying United. You don't get to pick your seat. This fella, he's a...
When United, you do.
All right, I'm sorry, United, you get to pick your seats. And so I'm on the aisle, 11. And I already get there, and he and his wife are in those other two seats. I'm thinking to myself, because she's in the window. Like, man, if you don't put her in the middle.
Oh, he wanted her to sit. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's got.
Was he protecting her, or did she just want the window?
I don't know. He had good shoulders.
Was he overprotective, or was he whooped?
I don't know what he was. I'll tell you what he was. He was every bit of 240, 245.
And he stayed in the middle when you sat down?
What if she has motion sickness?
I'm going to tell you, Lo, you're moving your ass to the middle.
He stayed in the middle. Up. A lot of window sitters deal with motion sickness, and they stare out that window because of it.
Your ass ought not
be out here trying to plug
you
my...
say no.
I'm trying to plug my charger in. I thought for sure he's going to get up. Mm-mm. Like, they're going to switch. I mean, I think he want to. We in her shoulders. Now, we was in Economy Plus, and it was a little bit more room, but...
You can lean, baby. You can get in that middle and lean across me if you got that window. Lay your head in my lap.
I'm telling you. Well, you can buy two seats then, bro.
I thought for sure he was going to slide. I thought for sure they was going to switch this thing.
Mm-mm. Yeah, he should have.
It's like Reggie at that baseball game, Astros game. We had a full row to ourselves. Reggie,
he wanted to be close, didn't he?
Reggie sat right next to me.
Tyler, you get motion sickness?
I'm always good raw dog in the drive.
No, I do not.
Okay, let's check. That's it all. Because, you know, we're flying straight from Aruba. We're going to do this for five? We're going to take this next option.
Damn, y'all some high maintenance some bucks.
It's not high maintenance.
His old lady was going to be comfortable with you and him. Y'all was going to be uncomfortable as hell.
They paid for their seats, man. Seems like they get to do what they want with them.
Them shoulders were just touching over there, baby.
Hey, you should have hogged the armrest.
Rubbing your weenuses together.
Spreading them old legs out. Like I said, that knee on his side of the table, of the crack.
Like, listen, it was a Southwest flight. We'd have been in trouble. We'd have been in, like, I may have had to volunteer. We had that economy plus gives you a little bit more space.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking to
myself. Imagine if it was Spirit.
I'm thinking to myself, well, I saw some people out there taking a chance with their lives on Spirit International.
I did it once, never again. Scared the crap out of me.
I'm good on that. I just kept looking at him as everybody was walking through. I said, oh, we ain't going to make this switch. I thought it was going to be rough. I'm trying to go down there and plug my phone in. And we're running into just, all right, I ain't going to be able to go down and do that. And running into each other.
Drama.
They just stayed with it.
You didn't make the recommendation?
No, I didn't. I do. Listen, that is, you know, there's not a lot of things that I'm jealous of you about. There's a few. One of them is your aggressiveness on planes. Tyler, Clint's got.
Oh, I wear a very passive aggressive shirt when I fly. Sometimes
Clint is very. I don't even want to say aggressive, but proactive.
Oh, I am do. Too. I believe with him.
I believe Clint would have. You would have made the suggestion for the switch.
Yeah, I would have.
Well, I'm not worried about that stuff, though. That's their seats.
Yeah, I know. So
you
can't tell someone what to do with their seats.
I wouldn't be an a-hole. I wouldn't tell them. I would just say, hey, big fella, we're going to be 5 hours, man. We're going to be uncomfortable. Would it be a little more comfortable if she sat in the middle?
I wish
I'm
going to
make
them
tell me she's got motion sickness. I'm going to make them say.
You're going to make them say it for a reason.
Yeah, man.
You're overstepping a bit, I feel like, in that situation.
Now, I have a range here. If Titus Howard is sitting there, like, hey, bro, we gonna do this? Like, we ain't gonna do this.
I'm gonna tell you. I mean, here's the deal.
Now, I know Titus would be on the PJ.
No, Titus. Hey, man. No, hey, but I got to ask Titus. I got to, man. I gotta risk him getting upset.
I'm gonna take the next flight. I gotta switch.
I'm gonna tell you.
I'm gonna tell you, boys. Look here.
Another private flight.
If we get on a plane. And Lo squeezes her little ass over by that window, and I'm sitting in the middle.
I mean, she had so much space, too, dog. She was able to turn sideways over there.
Knees up in the seat.
Knees up in the seat. And we are here shoulder to shoulder.
Hey, man. If Lo's over on that window and I'm in that middle aisle and you walk up, I fully expect you to say, hey, bro. Hey, man. Hey, you think we, is there any way, like, is there a medical reason here?
I fully expect that. I got it. But he wasn't to a point where I'm with Tyler. I felt like, all right, man, he paid for these seats. She clearly wants the window, and we could sit in there comfortably, right? It was all good. But like, he had another 25-30 on me. I think I would have had to. What do you think about a game plan here?
Hold on, so
what if we go to? How can we mix this up where we're not next to each other?
Yeah, I mean, I would at least. Create some level of communication to where he'd have to say, hey, because if she literally had, like, I would still think it'd be a better idea for her to lean over him and look out the window. She had motion sickness. But, yeah, I mean, this can't just be because she's high maintenance and wants the window.
Yeah, I would have showed him, listen, I'm married, my wife with kids. I'm going to show you my whole catalog.
I'd get to know him.
I don't want anything to do with
her. I'd get to know him real good. If he said, oh, she just wants the window, man, she bought it, she wants it. I'd say, boy, you old henpeck sumbuck.
What if it's a vacation she worked her ass off for to pay for on her own dime, and she wants to spend the first part of her vacation looking at her destination?
She can lean over me. She can lean over me, put her hands in my lap, maybe heavy petting going on while she looks out the window.
Now, this is odd.
I disagree
right here
with y'all so hard.
Someone texted in, I wouldn't let
because you ain't never had that problem.
I wouldn't let my you're good and comfortable.
I've no never been crowded on a plane. No matter,
I mean, if somebody if somebody's 400 pounds and broad shouldered like J.J. Watt, you might be, but I mean, you don't like every
plane.
You
said I never
you
have,
on,
dude.
Every plane you get on, it's not uncomfortable.
Tyler, I think
to know a lot about my travels.
I think a good 95 to 100% of the time you have you walk on freely. Without thinking, who the hell's going to be next to me?
Most of the time, that's absolutely probably fair.
From a weight perspective.
But to act like I ain't never been fighting over an armrest on all these flights I take, come on now.
An armrest?
I got no ass, but it's happened.
But I mean, but you haven't been.
Great
you haven't,
point. And your ass fits in every single seat. But you haven't been. With extra room.
You ain't been in a space where, like, we're going to be touching the whole way of the flight.
Yes, I have.
How many times have you been on a flight where you have to position your shoulders in front of or behind the guy sitting next to you?
Multiple times.
I mean, are you flying with the Texans O-line or what?
It wasn't coming from you, though, was it?
I'm not Figgy. Like, I know I got no ass, but I got some size here.
Figgy into this? I bet Figgy outweighs you.
This is I understand that this is a size. This is more of a size thing, man.
That's a good point. I'm not Bajani.
You don't have an over. You don't have an overlapping the seat build.
No, I don't. But you. I mean, we're talking about how crowded it is on the front end, period, on some of these rows on planes, right?
Well, we're missing the overall.
Come on.
The most important part of this is it can't happen because somebody's henpecked.
Yes, it can because it's their sex
line said, I wouldn't let my wife sit in the middle either.
Really?
Well, that sounds like you got a marriage problem.
Yeah.
I mean, if she was just extremely.
I wouldn't let my wife sit in
if she
the
was extremely uncomfortable about it, that's one thing. And I think that's what you were saying.
It's an arranged marriage.
Like, I'm telling you, like, Courtney. You look over here, you know what's going down here. I'm not sitting here 5 hours here. We're going elbow and shoulder to shoulder if I don't have to.
You're just jumping out.
I'm telling you, man, I'm talking, Tyler, you got to sit. And if you can see me on YouTube and Twitch, we got to do this number. Or we got to come up.
And I'm not denying that if it's two big fellas next to each other, that's a lot different than what I've dealt with.
These
plain rows are.
I like the best part is when you get a guy you don't know and the guy that nobody on the row knows each other.
Yeah.
And the girl's over against, or the woman's up against the wall. And like, hey, you help us out here a little bit?
Nah, I don't want to help you out.
Could you do us a solid? I mean, I may get a no, but I'm at least ask. I've always been a believer.
That's why you need to take that approach.
Make them say no.
You got to take that approach with the tickets.
What tickets?
When you go over there, go to Aaron, make them say no to you. That's the approach I take on it there.
I mean, you're talking about asking for 8 to 10 tickets on the suite. That's a little different than asking somebody to slide their ass over in a seat.
Yeah, make them say no.
Hold on, Joe.
Make him say no.
Oh, big old
Ron's got some juice to him.
Big old henpeck fella in the middle. Nah, man, you have to move over.
Tyler's elbow to shoulder size is longer than Figgy's whole armpit. Come on, guys.
I mean, it's probably true.
Figgy's thick. Figgy's a thick dude now.
Yes.
Who you think fills up a Southwest flight seat? Tyler or Figgy?
Figgy, once we get seated, yeah. He's a little thicker, yeah. Figgy, I'd probably rather Tyler be in that center seat if I were walking down it.
Tyler, you ever stood up out of your plane seat and, like, the arm comes with, the arm in the middle comes with you?
Probably.
This man here said, I'm 6'4", 310. I have anxiety days leading up to fly.
Damn. And I get that. I feel that.
Hey, bro, you know what I'm talking about. There ain't nothing more boring when you, like, it's a different feeling from others. I know most people like it when their row is clear and there ain't nobody else
it's
there.
It's a different feeling, huh?
Boy, it's a different feeling.
That's the first thing Ron told me about his Aruba trip. Hey, bro, I went to the airport. There was 40 people on that whole plane. He said, there wasn't nobody on my row. There wasn't nobody on the row in front of me.
I can count it. I can see it. I can count
Michelle,
it.
Michelle, man.
Like, Eric, like when I rolled up to that terminal, I said, damn. God. All right, here we go. Who else is in this 11 row?
Who drew this card?
And I know this dude, this 6'4 dude and somebody else, You walk up in that terminal. I'm looking. I am looking down all of the people in that terminal C. Whatever we were. I'm looking. All right. That dude right there. He can't be next to me. That dude. I counted six.
What are the odds?
He could be there.
Got Cheetos crumbs like on his t-shirt he's wearing.
I know I'm 11. I am counting down to see who is in it. And I saw a man-female combo, but the man was in the center. I said, well, surely he'll switch. But I mean, and I said, well,
his name was Shirley?
Oh, my good man. It's some anxiety, man.
Here's the other thing, too, though. If you want to just take it out of the mix, the possibility of having to share this elbow room and bumping up with a big fella, whatever, you avoid it all in first class.
I'm sure you do.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Mm.
Yeah, some people got to get these floors.
I mean.
I'm trying to help you on that.
Your home hasn't had floors?
Other people ain't trying to help me on them floors. I got to get these floors. Coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire. Jimmy Ward is in a situation. We'll give you the latest on that from him. Also, the Astros, they get ready to try to win the rubber match of this series against the White Sox. We'll get you ready for that with the lineups as well. All of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.